Christians are being targeted for persecution in all kinds of different places all around our world. We saw what happened recently in the Easter attacks in Sri Lanka. Our guest for this portion of Focal Point is Wendy Wright, the president of Christian Freedom International. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point. And Wendy, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay. Would it be safe to say that in our world today that Christians are probably the number one target when it comes to persecution around the world?
It's more than safe to say that it's being said by secular and religious authorities. The Pew Research Foundation has stated that Christians are the number one targeted religious group. Open Doors has quantified the numbers and shown that one out of every nine Christians lives in under extreme persecution. And just recently, the British government, the foreign minister, had asked for an investigative report, a global report of the persecution against Christians. And the initial report was released just recently, and what they found is that, in fact, the scale and intensity of persecution against Christians has been growing globally. And sadly, that report came out just days after the massive massacre attack on churches in Sri Lanka. Six different bombings that took place. Three were at churches. Three were at hotels that were being frequented by Westerners. Some of them were Christians who had just come back from their Easter services and were having brunch. That attack on Sri Lanka really woke people up to the fact that Christians are being targeted, and in places that had been unexpected. Christians in Sri Lanka have suffered under discrimination, under violence, but not on the scale that we saw until the bombings. And it was those bombings that really woke people up to the fact that Islamists and others with a hatred against Christians are attacking Christians nearly everywhere on the globe.
What do we know as far as details about the Easter bombings? And by the way, what do you make of the strange phrase that both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama used, where they used the phrase, instead of saying these were Christians that were targeted, they were quote-unquote Easter worshipers? I've never even heard that term before that day.
Yeah, I hadn't either, and they weren't alone. There were several media as well that avoided using the word Christian to instead say Easter worshipers.
Why?
I mean, frankly, there's only one religious group that celebrates Easter, and that is Christians. The attack in Sri Lanka was really shocking. The scale, the massive nature, it was one of the worst terrorist attacks since 9/11. And against Christians who are a minority themselves in Sri Lanka. I lived in Sri Lanka back in the 1980s, was back again in 2013. And there's not been animosity between Christians and Muslims in Sri Lanka. Christians had been suffering under discrimination and persecution from the Buddhist nationalists in Sri Lanka, and discrimination by government authorities that would not allow worship services and use bureaucratic means to go after churches. There'd be violence by radical Buddhist groups in Sri Lanka. But this was entirely surprising that the massacre was perpetrated by Islamists. Sri Lanka had reported a couple of years ago that a couple dozen Sri Lankans had joined ISIS in the Middle East. And now it appears what happened is that ISIS has been able to influence within Sri Lanka. And sadly, the government authorities had warning of the attacks a couple weeks before the attacks took place, and they just simply did not act on those warnings. There's no disagreement about that. Even the government authorities themselves are admitting that they failed to act. Now, there could be reasons for that. There was internal political disputes between the president and the prime minister that may have diverted their attention, but there's also been ongoing bias against Christians among political leadership, and that may be a reason why they didn't act on the warnings that they had been given.
Do you think the bias against Christians, let's say in the mainstream media of America, mainstream journalists is part of the reason that this story is almost one of the most underreported stories in the whole world, that Christians are the number one target of persecution around the world.
Yeah, in fact, in Sri Lanka and many other places, the Christians that were attacked and persecuted tend to be poor, and they're of the what might be considered the lower class of society. And in Sri Lanka, the attackers were middle class and wealthy. Two were the sons of a Sri Lankan billionaire. And in fact, the father himself was arrested for having assisted his sons in the attack. So that seems to hold true in many other places. The elites are oftentimes have a bias against Christians. And in the United States, where we see the elites are in academia, in media, in some politics, just across the board, those that are of a higher standard, oftentimes will have a bias against Christians. It's not completely true across the board. It's somewhat of a generalization. But when you come into countries that are less developed, the real problem comes with not only the bias, but impunity, that when there's discrimination, when there's attacks, when there's systemic bias, that means in the institutions, that as they are perpetrated against Christians, no one's held accountable. There's just complete impunity. In cases where, let's say, girls and Christian girls and young women are kidnapped and then forcibly converted by Muslims, rarely do you see those who perpetrated those attacks ever being held accountable. So there's a real problem with impunity that can't be ignored. For there to be justice, it's not only a matter of recognizing there's a problem, having laws and regulations against the way that problem's being perpetrated, but then making sure that those laws and regulations are being enforced so that there is true justice.
How do you feel President Trump is doing in this area? And he seems to be more concerned than some of the previous presidents on this issue.
President Trump has really spoken out on this issue of persecution against Christians worldwide. He's very well known for saying America first and really putting Americans first as the President of the United States, but he has not been blind or silent when it comes to the persecution of Christians worldwide. And in fact, he was outspoken on the when the attacks occurred against Sri Lankan Christians. So it's encouraging to see that, as well that his administration is taking seriously the persecution of Christians. He has placed, as the ambassador to advance international religious freedom, he put in place Senator Sam Brownback, Governor Sam Brownback. He's held both those high positions. Having someone who's held those two very high positions of senator and governor really gave gravitas to the work that he's doing as ambassador. And he's hit the ground with full energy. He has visited numerous countries. He's gone into dangerous areas in order to one-on-one talk with those who are being persecuted and to bring back their stories and to try and inform the State Department itself to the seriousness of the issue and get the State Department active in trying to promote religious freedom.
All right. Could you comment, please, on the persecution of Christians in North Korea and then also in China? China seems like they're going backwards, almost, towards the days of Chairman Mao as opposed to going forward.
Yes. North Korea is considered the most dangerous place on earth
even
to be
still,
a Christian.
Even still.
Yes. North Korea still is and continues to be sadly top or bottom of the list when it comes to persecution, depending on how you're doing the list. And one of the problems is that North Korea is so isolated that it's difficult to get information out. We have begun working, Christian Freedom International has begun working with defectors from North Korea, and we're getting food and Bibles and medicine into North Korea and helping North Korean defectors to get out. And here's an interesting aspect of North Korea. It's based on what's called Juche ideology, which is a unique ideology to North Korea. And it's a belief system that is akin to a religion, in which Kim Il-sung, the original dictator in North Korea, is considered God. His son is considered like Jesus Christ, and then Juche ideology is considered like the Holy Spirit. Well, this Juche ideology is based on a framework of Christianity. In fact, Kim Il-sung's relatives, his father, his mother, were devout Christians. And so he seems to have taken that framework of Christianity, filled it with himself as God. But then when defectors leave North Korea, they are oftentimes very open to Christianity because they understand the structure, the basis, and they truly understand that the Kim family is not God. They've not provided for North Korea. In fact, just the opposite. Many people still die of starvation in North Korea. And so they very readily will accept Christianity. China, as you mentioned, has been getting worse. And in fact, there are some China experts who say that it is on track to becoming worse than it was under Chairman Mao. And one reason it's able to be worse is because of technology that's available today. The surveillance technologies that China is now requiring churches to have inside their worship services allows them to use facial recognition to identify who is attending. So, for example, it's against the law for Communist Party members or children under 18 to be part of the worship services. So
children under 18? That's amazing. I mean, that way, if they do it that way, then basically they could make it so that the church becomes just an old fogey institution and it would die out.
Right. It would age out. Interesting enough, though, it's interesting you should mention that, because that actually hasn't been the experience of the church. Jesus did say that we would be persecuted and that he would be with us as we were being persecuted. And what happened in Russia when Christianity was considered to be a threat to communism, that after 70 years of communism and it fell, it was the babushkas, it was the grandmothers who were the ones who had kept Christianity alive and were the ones who then trained their grandchildren in the doctrines of the faith. Similar thing seems to have happened in North Korea. The underground churches, or they call them basement churches in North Korea, it's those who remember back to the time or have had the stories told to them of the great revival that took place in Korea when it was a one country. And Pyongyang was called the Jerusalem of the East. Wow. Because of the revival. That there are those who still have been able to keep that history alive, to pass it on rather quietly to the children and grandchildren. And in China, that may be what will happen, the Chinese militants' greatest efforts, against their efforts, it may be that the children will still hear the whispers of who Jesus Christ is and will come to believe. And, you know, we even hear the stories in Muslim countries of those whose first encounter with Jesus Christ came through a dream. And that Jesus Christ appears to them in visions and dreams. So we should be praying for the persecuted Christians around the world, that they would experience Jesus Christ personally through whatever means possible, because we know there's evidence for that faith that he will do that.
Okay, we have enough time just for basically for your website and any closing thought in 20 seconds.
Great. Well, our website is christianfreedom.org, www.christianfreedom.org. And Christian Freedom International provides aid and advocacy for persecuted Christians around the world. We work mainly in Southeast Asia and the Middle East. But as persecution picks up in other places, begin work in those places. So we encourage you to go to our website, christianfreedom.org. And if you'd like to help, you find an easy way to get involved through prayer and donations and by giving. We appreciate that.
All right. Wendy Wright, thank you so much for being with us, Wendy.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.